here are doing the exact same to the North Huskies.
This game has had a lot of whistles to it, so this one is both free throws missed by Gavin Weiss, rebound to Ben Fesenmeyer, and Morial has the basketball. This game has been is running a little behind some of the other ones going on, despite the fact it is a blowout. Ben Fesenmeyer, left wing, feeds it underneath, hits off hands, goes back outside, and Memorial recollects it. Ian Bauer, left wing, drops it to Yates. Yates back outside Ian Bauer. He'll hold up the hook'em horn sign to call a play now. The old two, run the two. Simmons gets a feed at the left block, and Shamar Simmons will score. So Shamar Simmons scores, and then another whistle here because there's a piece of the floor that has popped out underneath the basket to our right. How do you like that? Yeah, it's one of the bolts. So Perry Myron, the athletic director, is going to put it back. It's almost like a sewer cover. A very small sewer cover of maybe 2 inches in diameter, and they just put it back in place. That is a what you do is underneath there. There's power and stuff. No, you know what that is? That's not for power. That's for an extra volleyball hoop. That's one of the volleyball stanchions for when they cut it into extra volleyball courts here. So you've got various holes around the court that you don't necessarily notice until you go down there that are for the poles for, say, volleyball, and sometimes, especially along the sideline, for power and things of that nature for scoreboards. Meanwhile, the other way, North, another hoop and a arm here. Aaron Gust drives on in, scores, and is fouled, and Gust will try to get a three-point play for North.
Yeah, thing with the little holes here at this court, basically you don't notice them until either you're down there or they get pointed out to them, because now that's all I can really spot on the court.
Yeah, your eyes are drawn to every little hole there is out there now that's covered by one of those miniature sewer covers. Free throw missed by Gust as he does not complete the three-point play. Memorial basketball, 9:20 to go in this one. Outcome of this one long since secured by Memorial. Their season will continue to tomorrow. North will get ready for the spring sports season. Another foul called here, this time on Zach Shipman of North, as Ian Bauer dribbling in right side. These officials are calling everything right now. A wet sneeze elicits a whistle in this one. Whereas I think back to the last night's girls basketball game, it was almost like squirrels fighting over one last acorn on a tree branch, and they'd let them play on. These officials a little soft tonight. Let them play, boys. Let them play a little bit, especially in a game that is a 28-point deficit. Yates has it right sideline, feeds underneath to Bauer. Bauer a floater with the right hand. Got it. Ian Bauer is up to 3 points off the bench. Elliot Besson, right wing for North. Hands to the facing Ritter, left hand dribble to the lane, stops 5 feet out. Now leans in, puts up a shot. It dances on the rim and falls on through, and McCabe facing Ritter's got his first two of the night for North.
Yeah, even though this outcome might not seem in vain, it's good to see facing Ritter getting that bucket there. He is a junior, so he will be back again next year, so it's not like that's his final, potentially his final bucket, but good to see him getting on the board there.
By the way, as Memorial has the basketball, Don Wright, one thing we haven't had a chance to mention are a lot of caterpillars on the upper lips of the Memorial players. Looks like that might have been a team-wide thing here. A lot of the guys growing lip sweaters. Mustaches. Ian Bauer drives in left side, and Ian Bauer scores. Yeah, it looks like a lot of the guys, at least those who are physically able to, have been growing themselves little mustaches. Well, North will call a timeout. 7:48 to play in the ball game. Memorial leads 68-38. We'll take a timeout with them here from 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Join the area's newsmakers and learn more about what is happening in our town, all while enjoying a beer with the Banker with a Beer podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. Each week, Jerry Keel from Northwestern Bank brings on guests to learn more about what is happening in our region, and along the way, they try some delicious beers. It's the Banker with a Beer podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com.
.748 to play in the ball game. Memorial on top of North by a score of 68-38. A 30-point lead for Memorial here. They will advance to the regional final tomorrow. Derek, do we have updates on the old out-of-town scoreboard?
Why, yes, we do. We got a couple of big update from the Wausau West DC Everest game. Wausau West up 49-38 late in the second half there. Also in that Regis-Nielsville game, it looks like Regis is going to run away with it late in the second. They lead 63-46. And as I...
Well, we'll get an update on that Altoona Elk Mound game in a moment. As it's North ball down to our left. Thiesing Ritter, Darren Gust up top. Left dribble into the lane, spin move around his defender, and got it to go. Elliot Besson. I should say Aaron Gust with the basket. Gust has 9 points in the game, all nine coming in the second half for Aaron Gust. Memorial, by the way, out there has got R.J. Pirine into the ball game, one of the seniors. Doesn't see a lot of time, but he'll get a good run here now with 7 minutes to play in regulation. Chad Briskey able to clear off the bench a little bit. Pirine had it knocked away, tracks it back down in midcourt. Yates into the corner for Bauer, a three, bottoms. Ian Bauer off the bench, up to 8 points in the game, 71-40 Memorial. Gust, right wing for North. Pass to Besson, left side of three, horseshoes out. And the rebound to Henry Fezenmeyer. And it's yo-yoed up the floor by Caleb Yates. Yates, fouled by Thiesing Ritter, who came in for the steal. That'll be the fourth team foul on North.
And we'll use this opportunity to give you that Elk Mound Altoona update. They're into the final minute of the second half in that game, and it's neck and neck. Elk Mound leads 61-60 over Altoona.
Memorial basketball, Yates drops it off to Pirine, right wing. Between the wheels for Ian Bauer. Back to Pirine, right side. Pirine, left hand, dribble to the lane, hangs in the air. Got fouled as he went up for a shot. And R.J. Pirine will get a couple of free throws as the clock stops with 6:21 to play in the game. The crowd has begun to thin out a little bit.
Well, yeah, at this juncture of the game, the score has been in no doubt since about halftime, so.
Meanwhile, Pirine will hit the free throw, the first free throw.
The crowd will naturally thin out at this juncture of the game with the final score being in no doubt, so. Nevertheless, a good amount of people still sticking around to watch the very end of it.
R.J. Pirine hits both free throws, 73-40, Memorial. Thiesing Ritter, nice feet underneath, and it leads into a reverse layup by Jack Strabel. Strabel caught it coming up along the baseline, caught it over his back shoulder, and switched from his left hand to his right and scored underneath, a nifty play. Still, though, Memorial up 73-42, final 6 minutes. Pirine, top of the key for Henry Fezenmeyer. Right wing three is front rim no by Jack Cooper, the senior, who checked in, seeing some time now. Again, there's only one non-senior on this Memorial team. There's a driving layup. We'll go with the left hand for Gavin Weiss, but he'll go to the line to shoot two because why not? This whole game has been spent at the free throw line in the second half.
Yeah, this game has just completely dragged the second half. score is no longer a doubt. I honestly say we just let them play.
I understand the officials. You know, you want to give them a good game. The officials right now have got no feel for this game whatsoever. And you gotta remember, too, the longer you play, the minutes you play, the more apt there is for an injury as well. These aren't violent fouls either. They are calling a wet sneeze at this point. If somebody messes their shorts, they're called for a foul. Let them play a little bit. Second free throw, no good. 5:30 to play in the game. Memorial leads by 30. And they've led by about 30 points for most. There's another foul midcourt. Come on now. And again, I can say this as an official myself. You guys have got to have a feel for this right now. We're not here for you guys, these officials. They've completely taken any enthusiasm out of this. So the foul was on North. Their sixth foul. Both teams in the bonus after this. Cooper for three, right side for Memorial. No offensive rebound. Ben Fesemeyer, that's off the back heel. No long rebound. Tracked down by Yates along the side. Yates, Euro steps into the lane. Scores, but wave it off. He traveled. Chad Brisky crosses his arms and stares a dagger at the official. Looked like a clean Euro step, but that official down there might not have ever seen modern basketball. Huh.
Yeah.
5 minutes left to play. Still a 30-point lead for Memorial. I mean, this is how bad the officiating's gotten. The officiating becoming a story in a 30-point game. Come on, guys. Have some feel here. You're making it about you guys at this point. Another foul as Elliott Besson goes in. And they just know right now, if you drive on in, there's going to be a foul coming at some point. So Besson foul, was he in the act of shooting or not? Yes, he was. They'll give him a full two. Not a one-and-one situation. Why don't you tell us what's going on with that Altoona Elk Mound game?
Well, they got 16 seconds left in that game, and Elk Mound leads 63-60. There's currently a timeout on the court for Altoona, so Altoona will draw up one more last-ditch play.
We'll watch that one and see how that one goes. Regis on their way to winning and advancing. And we'll take one more look in a moment, but Wausau West looks like they were going to hold serve at home. So it'll be Wausau West at Memorial here tomorrow night. Elliott Besson, meanwhile, makes both free throws. 4:40 left to go. Memorial leads North 73-45. Memorial will take all three crosstown showdown meetings this year, two in the regular season by blowout fashion, and this playoff game by a blowout as well. Ben Fesemeyer can't finish at the left block. Rebound comes way out to midcourt, tracked down here by Lemke for North. Lemke dribbles into the lane, stops, throws it back outside to Peyton McCracken. Left sideline for Isaac West to dribble around the arc. Besson swings it to the left side for Gus, and a foul away from the ball, a holding foul on Cooper, and that'll send North to the line shooting a 1-1.
As now the ninth foul on Memorial in this second half, so nearly a double bonus here.
Meanwhile, North, I should say Altoona, a buzzer beater three to tie off the mark, and Elk Mound is gonna hold on. And Elk Mound will advance. So Altoona gave it a heck of a ride. As Lemke at the line shooting a 1-1. First free throw, high rebound, no. Rebound Memorial. So Altoona's season ends, but boy, a heart wrencher. They took the top seed, Elk Mound, all the way down to the final buzzer. Memorial basketball, P. Ryan along the far side, tried to pass along the sideline to his teammate, but it goes out of bounds. And turn back over to North with 3:44 left to go.
Yeah, with time, as we pretty much have this one locked down, Memorial will make another bench substitution. Armando Torres coming into the game for RJP Rhines. So Chad Brisky continuing to start to empty his bench near the end of this one.
North basketball driving in, a layup attempt, no good by Besson, but he was fouled because of course. So now he'll go to the line. shooting two will Elliott Besson.
16 total fouls in the second half. That has been in zero doubt for the entirety of the second half. The fact that it's gotten to this point is just dragging the game. And honestly, both teams know it at this point. The game is completely lopsided. I know pretty much everybody here doesn't want to see a slow dragging finish to this complete blowout of a game.
First free throw by Besson Nene. Second free throw no good as well. That's Memorial Basketball. So Memorial Basketball. Attacking hoop down to our right. Ben Fesemeyer swings it high out to the left side for Caleb Yates. Yates got double team, ball spits loose, picked up by North. Kind of a ratty finish to this one as Memorial leads 73-46. We'll reach the final 3 minutes of regulation. Outside, Isaac West has it for North. West, knee-high dribble, goes between the legs, a little eye candy, working on Armando Torres. Takes a 10-foot jumper, and it's good. So Isaac West hits the bucket, and a timeout then taken by North. So North calls timeout. We'll take one with them. 2:52 left. Memorial, though, well on their way to advancing in the playoffs. They lead North 73-48. And actually, this is just a rolling timeout. We'll keep it here. North just wants to call a timeout so they can bring some guys back in there. Memorial will make some more substitutions as well. So Memorial basketball with 2:52 left. Memorial leading 73-48. Memorial will now defeated North in 8 of the last 9 meetings, the only exception to the last few years of this Memorial dominance in this inner city rivalry would have been the game we were at here last February, one of the first games Memorial played after the Cooper Jesperson injury, and they were still looking to settle themselves down, and North won that game in a blowout in the second half. Armando Torres, right-hand dribble, baseline, takes the jump shot. No, he got fouled, and Armando Torres going to the line for a couple of free throws. Torres not one of the guys with a lip sweater, but it's more than made up for by what Henry Fesemeyer has been able to grow. Look at that. Look at that caterpillar that has crawled up underneath his nose.
Oh, yes, that is the, if you want a perfect example of a mustache, that is exactly what Henry Fesemeyer has grown.
Torres' free throw hits off the back rim, goes up in the air, and then drops off to the side. No good. And the second free throw. That, too, no good. Both free throws missed by Torres, and it's North basketball. Dexter Renock into the game, dribbles in, nowhere to go. Now back outside of three. That's off the mark by Stone. Rebound to Memorial. Looks like Brody Neff, a senior, getting ready to come into the game for Memorial. That got a rise out of the student section. Cooper a three, no. And the rebound to Yates, who swings in for the rebound. Final 2 minutes of the game, playing for statistical purposes only. In the lane, a floater with the left hand, up and in by Jack Strable for North. 73-50. Memorial has led going away, and a timeout taken by Memorial. Just a rolling timeout so Brody Neff can come into the game. He'll come in for Henry Fesemeyer, and Brody Neff will finish the game on the floor for Memorial.
Yeah, so Memorial has subbed in pretty much. Yep, the bench is in now for Memorial.
Torres, right sideline to Alex Christensen, who's also into the game. Torres gets a feed underneath, and Torres scores. That gets an extra round of applause from the crowd here. 120 remains in the game. Spinning move underneath. Shot won't go for Peyton McCracken for North, but the senior, in his final minute plus of high school basketball action, will get a couple of free throws as, like everybody else in the second half, drew the foul and gets a couple of shots. So again, we'll be back with you tomorrow, 2:45. Memorial Girls playing Appleton East with a trip to the state tournament at stake.
So a huge game over there in Marshfield for Memorial looking to find a way to get to that state tournament.
McCracken missed both free throws. Rebound Memorial. Pirine runs the floor. Pirine reverse layup with the left hand. No. Rebound back to North. Hustling up the floor. Dexter Renock. Renock lost the ball in the lane out of bounds. And it'll go back to Memorial with 64 seconds to play.
Yeah, for Memorial, they'll be looking ahead to tomorrow, actually, for their next matchup between an opponent from Wausau, for sure, in that game.
RJ Pirine hands it to Armando Torres, drops it back to Neff. They'd love to get Neff a bucket here. Neff will take a three, top of the key, off the right side of the rim, rebound back down to North. 40 seconds left to go. Baseline driving layup is good by Jack Strabel, a senior for North. Last 30 seconds of the game. Brody Neff with it. Memorial trying to get Neff a bucket, you can tell. Neff way out to the right side. Works into the top of the key. 20 seconds left to go. Neff works on his defender. Now top of the key, gets it off to Pirine, right side three. Line drive, no. Torres the offensive rebound. Torres will score. 10 seconds left in this one. One last shot here for Lemke for North. As he drives on in, puts it up, no good. The putback is up and in, though, by Strabel. And that's how the game will come to an end as the final horn sounds. And Memorial wins this one, going away 77-54. Happy handshakes to the Memorial Old Aids as they win this playoff game. Their season will continue to tomorrow night, where they'll take on Wausau West. Meanwhile, North, their season comes to an end. And again, Derek, we'll talk about it here in a moment on the postgame show, but Memorial raced out to that 11-0 lead, put it away right away in this one.
Yeah, they took that early lead and never looked back from it. They put North to bed right away, and that's pretty much the story of this game.
So again, Memorial wins 77-54. We'll come back, give you the final stats, final look at the out-of-town scoreboard as well. This is Oakwood Area High School Basketball from 93.5 and Oakwood Hometown Media.
Stay tuned for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game and a look at the final stats.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's time for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game. Let's get back to the gym and Scott Montesano.
And welcome back one final time to Eau Claire Memorial High School. The Memorial Old Abes, the number 3 seed in the playoffs, take down their crosstown rivals. Eau Claire North, the number 14 seed, 77-54. A game that, quite frankly, just did not have any drama to it whatsoever. Memorial has been circling this date, the start of the playoffs, since they were upset in the first round last year. Cooper Jesperson back and healthy, and it didn't matter who the opponent was, they were going to be in for a tough one tonight. You thought North might have a shot because of the fact of the familiarity, and this would be such a big game for North, but Memorial got off to a great start, and it was really all about Memorial. Memorial played really good, never gave North an opportunity early, and game was pretty much over with 5 minutes in.
Yeah, Memorial put this game away pretty much right away off the tip-off, and after that, it was just them steamrolling over North the rest of the game, giving them zero chances to get any sense of a comeback going.
Final numbers in this game for North, led by Elliot Besson. The senior had 17 points, 8 for the senior Aaron Gust, 7 for the senior Isaac West. Meanwhile, for Memorial, 23 by the BRC Player of the Year in Cooper Jesperson, 14 for Julius Clark, almost all in the second half, and 8 for Ian Bauer in this game.
Some team stats for you in that for the final, Memorial shot 9 of 21 from beyond the arc, so they shot 42%. North didn't shoot too bad from beyond the arc either, shot 35%, 5 of 14 there. But in this game, Memorial ended up pulling away in the shots department. They had 59 to North's 45. Now the field goal percentages look a little bit closer. Memorial had 50% shooting like they had pretty much the entire game, and North shot 42%. On the rebounding front, not a lot of offensive rebounds in this game. In fact, majority of Memorial's rebounds, they had a total of, just calculate, 9 in this game, and 4 of them came in one little burst in the second half. As for North, they could only muster up 3 offensive rebounds in this game. So Memorial won the offensive glass in this game 9-3. And as a result, they really just complete domination for them.
So North's season will come to an end at 8-17. They lost their last 5, did North. Memorial's season will continue at 20-4. And speaking of North for a moment, it was a rough end of the year the last month and a half. They lost 10 of their last 12 games, and now for North, they of course lose a number of seniors, and next year doesn't mean anything to those seniors. Like any good alum, you want the team to do well, but doesn't mean as much to them. You don't want to discount that. For the seniors tonight, no matter what the reality was, this is still a tough pill to swallow as they look ahead to the next stages of their lives, of their careers. For some, like Elliot Besson, there is college basketball. For others, there's another college sport. For others, there is no next sport, and they move on to another stage in their life. You wish them the best for the players who will be back, for the players coming up through the system. It'll now be up to Logan Horn, who will be in his second season. Can he get North back to where they were not that long ago, 5-6 years ago, and get them back to a competitive level? In fact, they were at a competitive level until about midway through this year, and then, again, the wheels came off. As for Memorial, well, the Memorial Old Abes, again, they have been steamrolling towards this moment all season. One down, 3 more to go if they're to get to the state tournament. And tomorrow night, they'll be right back here at home at 7 o'clock. And Derek, why don't you tell us about the out-of-town scoreboard and what things look like?
Well, before we get to their opponent, a couple of other town teams, Regis will be advancing in the tournament as they defeated Neillsville in commanding fashion, 70-48. And Altoona suffered a heartbreaker at the buzzer against Elk Mound, losing on a last-ditch effort when they tried to score but just couldn't make the last-ditch effort, losing 63-60. And in that Wausau West-DC Everest game, Wausau West pulled away and never looked back. They won that game 61-45.
So it'll be Memorial against Wausau West. Wausau West the 6, Memorial the 3 seed here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Meanwhile, we'll be with the Memorial girls tomorrow afternoon as they play for a trip to the state tournament. They haven't been there since 2001. Chance to do it tomorrow. Memorial against Appleton East from the neutral site of Marshfield, Wisconsin. Derek and I go on the air at 2:45 for that one. Derek, final thoughts tonight?
Well, Memorial, they just steamrolled their way through and are looking like they could go on that very deep run that they are very much asking for.
Well, that'll wrap it up for us here tonight. Again, Memorial takes down North 77-54. Their season continues. North's season comes to an end. Big thanks to Derek Montesano. And with that in mind, on behalf of everyone who made this broadcast possible, I'm Scott Montesano saying there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. Make sure to take advantage of it. And until tomorrow afternoon with Memorial Girls Basketball, so long, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to this presentation of Eau Claire High School Football from Eau Claire Hometown Media, 93.5 The Tap, and Civic Media. For a schedule of other upcoming games, visit echometownradio.com or thetap.fm.
Win for the Wisconsin hockey team. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin women's hockey team skated to a 3-1 victory over Minnesota Duluth in the semifinals of the WCHA Final Faceoff Tournament hosted by Duluth. The Badgers outshot the Bulldogs 42-23. Wisconsin's Casey O'Brien scoring her 80th goal of the season, becoming the first female player in NCAA hockey to do so since 2018. Badgers goalie Ava McNaughton made 22 saves to earn her 32nd win of the year. The Badgers advanced to the finals on Sunday. NFL place kicker Mason Crosby at Lambeau Field, retiring as a Green Bay Packer, but says after a slump in 2012, he was concerned the team would cut him.
And Charles Woodson came up to me late in the year, and he was just like, dude, are you trying to make kicks? And I was like, well, yeah. He's like, stop it. Don't try to make the, like, just be you. Do your job, right? Like, do the process.
Crosby retiring today after 16 years in Green Bay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There might be a little trouble on Planet Netflix. Despite record gains last year, the streaming platform that seems to keep adding viewers and raising prices all at the same time saw its stock go down 8.5%, according to Variety, due to what most analysts are calling slower subscriber growth and a broader market reaction to President Trump's indecision on tariffs on Canada and Mexico. I know acting pretty much sounds like a cushy gig to most people outside the biz, but during an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live last week, actor Walton Goggins told the story of how he was bitten by a snake while filming episode 3 of season 3 of The White Lotus. The irony was that the snake was supposed to bite his co-star, Amy Lou Wood, who plays his girlfriend on the show. Macho Man Goggins owned up, though, and says he didn't exactly play it cool. Instead, he yelled, "Oh my God, I got bit by a snake," repeatedly in front of everyone. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper teens. For the weekend, more sunshine than clouds and warmer. High in the mid-40s Saturday, low 50s Sunday. Dry through most of next week and warm. Lots of 40s and 50s, even some 60s. Right now it's 33.
Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, if America alienates its allies, how will that affect us here in Wisconsin? Retired Major General Randy Manner joins us. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're talking about things happening this weekend and what's happened in the past, and was really grateful to see State Senator in action down at the Capitol. We got a couple things going on this week, and I know this is near and dear to every Native American, but I know you're on the pulse of what's happening with our MMI, our relatives that have come missing. And there was a horrific story that came up this week, State Senator.
Yeah, it was, you know, when you read the story about this young woman, Emily Pike, she was a San Carlos Apache. The horror of her, of the violence against her, is just heartbreaking. And it's heartbreaking again and again and again, because the number of women, especially women and girls, that have gone missing or murdered in Indian country, is just part of the horror story of the indigenous people of Minnesota. And fortunately for Minnesota, we were able to begin to address this, even though it hasn't stopped it from happening, because we have the same, you know, we have all those instances that are continuing here in Minnesota. But this poor young woman, who was found dead, brutalized, in Gila County down in, down south, and it took 3 weeks for her remains to be found, and it was certainly a horrific crime, as she was dismembered. I think you mentioned that, and all these horrible things that happened, and people being very insensitive around sharing the information or sharing photos or graphics of it. And you just kind of wonder, like, why would people do that? It's just really horrific.
Well, and it kind of coincides, too. They're having an honor run for Emily Pike on International Women's Day, which is tomorrow. And that's the Native Women Run are putting this on. But I know, too, we have things happening here up in the Twin Cities when it comes to International Women's Day.
Yeah, and really thankful to women running. They bring so much awareness and information to the public around it. And it's just, you know, we can't thank them enough. But yes, indeed, tomorrow is International Women's Day. It is an important day to remember women around the world. To build that awareness around equalization, a gender equal world, a world that's free of bias and stereotypes and discrimination, you know, like a world where women make just as much money as men do, dollar for dollar. And, you know, we're in a time period where there are those that, you know, think of diversity as a bad thing, where equity is a swear word, and being inclusive means that you're excluding people. Right. And you know, International Women's Day is an effort to kind of remind everybody that we, you know, just like Native women and Native people, we're still here. And you know, in a lot of ways, we are making the world a lot better place for everybody. So tomorrow is International Women's Day. There's a rally at the state capitol. It starts at noon, I believe. And I'm going to be there to speak. I have to do another event in the morning, so I think I'll get there around 12:30. And generally there's thousands of people that join. I have a cousin that texted me today, I'll see you out there tomorrow. So I'm really excited for that. And it brings a wide variety of people, generations, you know, from mm-hmm. children to the elders out. And luckily, it's going to be a lovely day, and I would invite anybody and everybody to stop by the cafe.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to get into cut into your segment, but I just want to say that, you know, as a man, we've been waiting for the women to lead. The women lead. We protect the women. We protect the circle. But the women have always been the leaders.
Yeah.
And, that have made things happen for thousands of years. And sometimes we lose sight of that, you know, with the male masculinity and all those things that that happen. But, you know, the bottom line is that we're taught as a matriarch people that women lead the way. And we know that from all the things that have happened in the last 100 years here with Native Americans. So women are the ones that lead the way. So I appreciate you speaking up and speaking about this. And also, it's just horrific what happened again, you know, in Arizona.
Yeah, it's, you know, just the fact that she went missing was horrific, but the way she was treated so violently and obviously disrespectfully is the thing that, you know, maybe even hurts the most. There are people mm-hmm. that never find their loved ones or don't get justice for what's happened to their loved one as well. And, you know, it's just time to get over all of that. I mean, it's really hard. You know, people say, tell me, oh, you've got to get over things. But, you know, we have, there was a really horrific death of a Minneapolis Native woman, Allison Lucier, who was found, you know, days after being strangled mm-hmm. by a former relationship. She had called a number of times about him, and a number of times. And the thing is that when you get somebody that continues to do that, they know the law. Like, they know that they have to, if there's a legal, what is it called?
Loophole?
Not a loophole, but if you get somebody so that they can't come near you for a while.
Oh, restraining order.
Thank you. You know, they know that with a restraining order, it only lasts so long. Mm-hmm. So they you know, lay low for that amount of time. And then they're back, like, within minutes of it being expired or something mm-hmm. like that. But, you know, she was, you know, trying to get her life in order, and this guy just kept harassing her. And of course, when the police came in, they assumed the worst and declared it an overdose. And the family's like, no, that wasn't it. We know this. And they had to stay after the Minneapolis Police Department mm-hmm. to do the right thing. And we shouldn't have to do that. They should be doing that right from the start. And so there have been many memorials for Allison as well. Her aunt mm-hmm. is just an incredible champion. Yep. I'm looking at some legislation that might change some of those time frames, those time stamps, so that, you know, really and truly, a restraining order should never go away unless the person who asked for it withdraws it or whatever the case may be. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still a really tough world for women out there, and it just shouldn't be like that.
Absolutely. And again, like you said, we got to give so much, and it shouldn't be this way, but we've been talking about this for a long time, and finally there's going to be an independent investigation, and, mm-hmm. and that has to do with the family really pushing this. Say, we only got a couple minutes left here, but I know there's also a thing happening at the Capitol with Rise and Repair. And there's a lot of things happening, you know, it's going to be there all day. Visit your legislators, you know, throughout the day. We know how that goes as veterans of doing that. And the legislators are going to be there really talking about it. Can you talk a little bit about what this, not so much the rally, but what's at stake here?
There, this organization, Rise and Repair, is just an incredible organization that is looking to basically rise and, you know, raise the indigenous rights and climate justice in Minnesota and do their best to repair the damage that has been done, whether it's, you know, pipelines or the environment. We're working on a bill, a wild rice rights bill, that is going to put some extra protections in the you know, in the waters, around the waters, in the stands of wild rice, to make sure that our Manoomin and our Pisin is protected for future generations. It's, you know, it's kind of been a free-for-all for a long time, and with motor crafts or just the pollution, the invasive species, all of those things have really been a challenge for the wild rice and for the tribes as well. And of course, let's remember that wild rice is not only our state grain, but it's also a sacred grain and an economic force for our native communities up there. You know, the Anishinaabe had, their elders had that vision that said, move west, move west, move west, until you find where the rice grows on the water. And that's where you can stop. And
you
know, kind of took over our Dakota people in our lands, but we, you know, we figured it out. We figured it out.
Hey, we got a minute left here. I know you're going to be at John Bobolink's powwow. Really honoring John Bobolink and the Healing in Four Directions powwow. We'll see you there. And you know, he was a great guy, and I know you worked a lot with him on legislation. And he's missed in the community, but it's time to celebrate his life, and I know you'll be speaking there too before the powwow.
Yeah, it'll be my honor to honor him for sure.
Right on. Hey, thank you so much, State Senator Mary Kunish, Big Peeny Geegee. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Do you have a vehicle you no longer need? Are you a little cash-strapped? Rudy Luther Toyota will pay you for your used vehicle. It's really simple. Head to RudyLutherToyota.com, answer a few simple questions, and Rudy Luther Toyota will get you an instant offer. Then they will set up an appointment, and after a quick verification, they will handle all the paperwork and coordinate getting you your check. It's that simple. It's a fast way for you to get rid of the vehicle you no longer need, putting money in your hands. For more information, head to RudyLutherToyota.com. That's RudyLutherToyota.com.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Support comes from the Walker Arts Center. Did you know that the Walker has a cinema that shows film almost every week? From artist talks, genre-defined performances, and world premieres to archival shorts and experimental soundscapes, the Walker Cinema explores all modes of global and local filmmaking. Get your first ticket for free. Visit walkerart.org/cinema to learn more. See you at the movies. WalkerArt.org/cinema to learn more.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
Here's Wendy with the new sacred animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dagger Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jingo, which means walks on white clouds. I am a policy volunteer for the Humane World for Animals, and that is a new name, and I'm really excited about it. Their former name was the Humane Society of the United States. They rebranded themselves to Humane World for Animals because really it's not just their mission to help animals in the United States, but it really is a global mission to help animals all over the world. So we talk about all kinds of things like factory farming, the fur trade, animal testing, trophy hunting, puppy mills, rescuing animals from disasters and large-scale cruelty cases. And, you know, the Humane Society of the United States has been around for a long time, since 1954, which I was surprised. I didn't know it was around for that long, but I really love the new name. So look, you know, you'll see advertising for it. You'll see commercials for it. And just know the Humane World for Animals is our new name, and we're excited about it. But today's Friday, so I have some fun facts, and we're going to keep all those other issues, the factory farming, the fur trade, animal testing, trophy hunting, all those important facts there. I'm going to be talking about those in the future, but not today because it's Friday. And we're going to keep it light today. Excuse me. I have like a little frog in my voice here. I'm going to be talking about cats. So I have an article here by Andy Geller, and it is from March 3rd, 2024, and it's a funny article about just fun facts about cats. And going through this, I'm really surprised because I didn't know a lot of these facts about cats, and Robert and I have had cats, for over 20 years. We are catless at the moment. Our last kitty, Lucy, after she passed away, we just have not brought ourselves to get another cat. So we will see about that. I do really have a yearning to have a cat, but we have different circumstances in our life right now. So we just have to figure that out. But here is this article about cats. So this is the article. It says, cat facts even ultimate feline lovers don't know. People all over the world and the internet simply adore cats, but sometimes we just can't seem to understand their little quirks. Do you want to know the reason behind your kitty's unwanted escorts to the toilet, or why they have so many stomach problems, or even why your senior cat suddenly starts purring for no reason? Keep scrolling to find out that the more about our favorite furry friends. So here, cats can run faster than Usain Bolt. Have you ever wondered how fast a cat can run? The answer is about 30 miles an hour. This is just slightly faster than the average speed of the Olympian Usain Bolt. He could run as fast as 27 miles an hour. In general, cats are quite fast creatures. However, their biology and genes play an important role when it comes to their speed. How fast can your cat run depends largely on its breed. For example, different breeds of cats run faster than others. Here's another one. Your cat thinks you're bad at hunting. How many times has your cat left its kills lying around? Well, we always had indoor cats, so they didn't go out and hunt. But we did have one cat, Princess, who went down in our basement, and she would find little things, little trinkets, and she would bring them upstairs to us. Or she would go into the laundry room, and this was her favorite thing, and she would hunt around, and she would bring up dirty socks, and she would leave them for us in the middle of the floor. We had socks all over the kitchen floor. This is what she's doing. But don't get mad at your cat for doing that. There is one special reason why your cat's doing this. Your cat leaves its dead prey or things that they're finding around because it really thinks that you stink at hunting. Yes, this is what cat mothers do when they're trying to teach the kittens to hunt. Cats are actually good for your health. If you are a cat lover, you know one, or you know one, then you probably are aware of the fact of how awesome owning a cat is. However, if you still need more convincing, check this out. Cats can actually be good for your health. It is said that cats are heart-healthy pets. First of all, they require less effort than owning a dog does. And in addition, they are excellent at relieving stress and anxiety. In addition, cat owners tend to have fewer allergies when compared to other people. You know, I'm glad that our grandchildren, Silas and Summer, are being brought up with cats in the house. And they're really interested. And I think it's going to help them, you know, not be allergic to cats. Or, you know, they're just going to get used to those cats. And it's really going to help them. And they come to our house twice a week. They're with us on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And now they're getting used to Wanda, our little dog. So that's great. Cats with six toes are named after Hemingway. Some cats are born with six toes. They are called polydactyl cats. They have a genetic condition called polydactyl, which causes them to be born with extra toes. Ernest Hemingway was given a polydactyl kitten in the 1930s, and he named it Snow White. At that time, Hemingway was living on a small island of Key West, and as a result, the museum that is named after him is filled with Snow White's descendants. Robert and I were actually there, and really, we saw some cats in the distance. We didn't see them up close, but they were hanging around the museum. We didn't see them up close, so we didn't see their toes, but I think that that's really awesome. Cats are constantly dehydrated. Cats are pretty dry creatures, mostly because they have pet peeves when it comes to their drinking water. In fact, they're so picky that they sometimes will go without drinking for many hours, leading them to become dehydrated. Cats like fresh, clean water, and if they're owners don't change their cat's water every day, the furry creatures may find it unsuitable for licking. However, sometimes even that's not enough. The cat will actually prefer drinking the water from a drinking tap, its owner's cup, or even the toilet bowl. Because dehydration in cats can lead to serious kidney problems, it's best to pay attention. Replace the kitty's water supplies daily, or maybe open a tap every once in a while for their enjoyment. We had a cat, Tommy, and he would only drink water from the sink in the bathroom. So he would go into the sink of the bathroom and drink that. I had a cat growing up, Clyde. His name was Kitty. Sorry about that. His name was Kitty. And Kitty would only drink out of the bathtub. So he would go into the bathroom and he would drink out of the bathroom water. There's more facts on this cat article, and I'll be finishing that up next Friday. Let's do that. But thank you so much, Robert and Haley. Have a great weekend, and back to you guys.
Hey, Big Peanut.
93.5 The Tap. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin actor Dan Davies. And then we talk a little fantasy baseball with WGBW's own Peter Van Doren. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, a first for South Carolina as it executes a murderer by firing squad. It was Brad Sigmund's choice. WYFF-TV reporter Anna Dobbins was a witness.
I did see a splash of blood when the bullets entered his body. It was not a huge amount.
Betsy Arakawa died of a rodent-borne disease called hantavirus. Investigators say her husband, actor Gene Hackman, died a week later of heart disease. CBS's Carter Evans in Santa Fe.
Was his Alzheimer's disease so advanced that perhaps he wasn't aware of what's going on? Those are all questions that are still out there right now, and those may never be answered.
President Trump holds the first crypto summit at the White House after signing an executive order yesterday. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
President Trump announced he is officially creating a virtual Bitcoin reserve to be housed within the U.S. Treasury. He called it a virtual Fort Knox for digital gold.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.